challenge with this Thursday, this matinee Thursday, is that we have a lot of misconceptions just about what a mandate is, especially when it flows from Jesus' lips. Schooled in Lutheran theology, we of course know the distinction between law and gospel, and we know that mandate fits into that law category. But is that so? When it flows from the lips of Jesus, you may be picked wrongly to assume that Jesus, in his words tonight, is ordering you around or commanding you what to do. For this is what mandates from mere men do. They seek to accomplish obedience. But Jesus' mandates are different. He tells you to do things that you, in and of yourself, are simply unable to get done. Yet he provides all that you need for this very mandate. Take, for example, the one I've mentioned previously, our Lord's mandate in the gospel to love one another. Now, you and I think sometimes we actually can do this. We think of how we love our spouse or how we love our children, and we think that that's just about what we need to do. But how about that person that just grates on you like fingers on a chalkboard? That person that drives you batty? Or what about your enemy? Are you able to love them with a perfect love so that you can wash them completely clean in forgiveness as Jesus washes you? If you're still thinking about that, let me answer the question for you. No, you can't. But Jesus has washed you clean in the waters of baptism, so that by that very same forgiveness he provided for you, you do forgive those who sin against you with Jesus' own perfect love, which the New Testament terms agape. Or consider the mandate to remember this sacrament. Could the disciples that night remember Jesus giving his body to death and shedding his blood for them, an event that wouldn't even happen until within that 24-hour period? No, they didn't. They all forsook him and fled. Do you sometimes forget what Jesus did for you at Calvary almost 2,000 years before you were born? Probably not. That is why Jesus remembers to give both his body and blood back to the future, as it were, to you this night, in this very meal that passes through time and all the constraints that time would bring, so that you might be blessed here and now with his presence. Or longer proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Do you go out to street corners to proclaim that Jesus died for you and indeed for the whole world? I understand that you are no trained preacher and angel of death, the Lord God himself, would pass over. So now you are invited to eat and drink of that Passover of Christ, which brings you forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. My point in all these commandments is so that you come to understand that these words of Mandate Thursday aren't really commands or demands upon you at all, for Christ's mandates are actually blessings, that is, invitations to you that you should be gifted with faith, with forgiveness, with life, with salvation. What God requires of you, he provides personally for you. That is why Mandate Thursday deserves to be called a Holy Thursday indeed. For the blessed gifts of your Lord Jesus make you holy with his own holiness from the cross, where he became your sin and your sins, so that you have